I think it's very important to address what it is that a godly father is. Last week we talked about the prodigal's father and the prodigal son, but now we need to come into what a qualification is for a godly father or a godly dad. I count it a great honor to be a dad. Amen? If you are a parent, it is a great blessed honor to be a parent. When I was young, I was never ever thought that I'd be a dad. I don't know why. I just never had that in my mind. I'm like, I'm going to have a career. I'm going to do well. I was career oriented. That was number one. It was never to be a dad. And then I met Laura, and my life changed. And I remember sitting on the front porch of my parents' house, and she said, "Now, how many kids do you want?" And out of nowhere, I said, "I think three." And she was like, "Well, I only want two." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know if two, because I came from a big family and you came from a big family." I said, "Four is a lot because I was the fourth child, but thank God my parents had me. But that's a lot of kids. I don't know. We could probably go with three." And we ended up having three kids. We talked about this majorly before we had children. We talked about how long we were going to wait before we started planning a family. She was graduating college. Literally, like, you graduated right after we got married with your bachelor's. And then right before we had Hayden, Laura graduated with her master's. And I was able to get further into my career. I wanted to buy a home. I thought, well, if I'm going to be a dad, I need a home. And so I tried to scrap up some money for a down payment on your home. Do you remember when you got your first home, how exciting that was? Our first home was not the best thing in the world. It was not beautiful. It had what type of heat was that? It was a wood burner. It was a wood burner we had in the basement. And I was going to think, well, maybe I could burn wood. And everybody laughed. Can I tell you, I don't blame them. They didn't need me. No, I didn't need to be doing it. So we did propane. We was out in the country. I had never lived that far out in the country before. Laura had. I said, man, well, about 5 years into it, I said, Laura, I think we need to get another home. I can't do propane and this is forever in my life. And God blessed us and we was able to move. And we had our first child. And then we had our second child. And then we were able to move one more time. And can I tell you, it's not been without a lot of work. It's not been without some tears. It's not been without some sacrifice being a dad. Amen? You as a mom or a dad today, you sacrifice greatly a lot for them. And I love my children this morning. I got two of them in here. One of them went back to kids worship this morning. But I want to tell you boys this morning, I love you. You're amazing to me. Sometimes I have to correct you. But I love you this morning. And if you got your kids with you today, or if you're going to visit your kids today, I want you to please tell your children that you love them. Amen? My dad, every time he sees me, tells me he loves me. I'm 40 years old, but my dad still tells me that he loves me. Let's all stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. We're going to be looking this morning at 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. Chapter 3, 1 through 7. A lot of times we read this when a pastor is to get ordained. Maybe it's a head of a church. Something like that. I need you to take this into the context that you're leading your house this way this morning. Husbands, you are bishoping your home. Amen? You are to be ahead of your home, and we're going to go over that. Please don't kill the messenger after this message. Amen? Just slightly get with me here. All right, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, not guilty of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his house, how shall he take care of the house of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and in the snare of the devil. Let's turn over into your Bibles, into the Old Testament, before you sit this morning. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. It says, "My son, hear my instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for fathers this morning. Lord, we thank you for fathers who bring their kids to church, who raise them. God, I thank you for seeing Jameson this morning. Man, I thank God for that. We've prayed for that baby for now weeks, and seeing him brought to church on his first Sunday in church. Thank you, God, for mom and dad. Dear God, Lord, I pray just blessing over each father here, over each son and daughter. Lord, that we'd grow stronger in our faith, that we'd be the men and the women that you called us to be. God, we love you today, and from our hearts we pray, amen. You may be seated this morning. Today, the church world views the family very differently, doesn't it? We see a very different view of families in America. See, we are striving in America to build a more perfect union, but our children are crying out for fathers. Turn on your news, turn on your media, look at our young adults around the world. It's hard to watch sometimes. Men who stand in the gap, that's what fathers are supposed to be. Men who will lead their home. Men who will study the Word of God. And men who will show themselves approved. It's important this morning to show yourselves approved. This is just not for, I'm talking about a pastor. This is talking about leading your home. Men that will love their wives as Christ has loved the church, and men that will correct their children when they've sinned. More than just the global revival this morning, we need a revival that starts at home. Let's bring it local. Amen? Start the revival in your house. Who starts a revival? Somebody has to get on fire for the Lord. It has to start somewhere. Somebody has to say, "Lord, let it start here with me." Now, here's something pretty interesting. Culture has skewed how godly men are now perceived in society. And we need more godly fathers in our world today. It's a lacking thing that we have. Children look at their fathers for morals, for ethics, and for godly living. You see, when you got married, you were called to be men. You were called to be the head of your house. Amen? When you were married, you were called to be the head of your house. Men, you are called to be the spiritual outlook that guides your wife, your children, and how they will view the rest of their adult and child Christian lives. It starts with us, men. Boys look up to their fathers as men that they want to be someday. Amen? And girls, they look up to their father on what type of man that they want to marry someday. It starts with us. I've learned from working in youth ministries over the years, on and off now for about 15 years, I've worked with youth ministries of many different types. I can tell you, when people bring their kids into us, a lot of times they think, "Man, that's going to raise them." No, I don't raise your children. That's your job. Amen? You take them home and you raise them. I get about 2 hours a week with them, Sunday morning and Wednesday. That's not a lot of time. I can try my best to instill morals and values and a godly outlook on their worldview. But it's up to you. It's those moments that you take around the dinner table and you say, "We're just not going to eat right now, right? We're going to bow our heads and pray." It's those moments at nighttime that you say, "Let's read our Bible together." It's that when you wake up and they see you on your knees praying, it starts with you. It starts with discipline at home. It starts with correction. And sometimes, I will be very honest this morning, it's hard being dad. Amen? Sometimes it's hard being dad. It's hard being a good Christian dad in today's culture. Why? Because the worldview is so much opposite of what we do. Men, we need more godly men like you today. I want to thank you for the men who stand up for truth, men who lead their homes, and men who love God today. Amen? I'm thankful for you. You see, there was a first institution. It was between Adam and Eve. It was called marriage. You see, this union was between a husband and a wife, and it was very unique. It symbolizes that for better or worse, now these two are now a family. You see, they would then have children. When you get married, maybe you will have children someday. Maybe you choose not to have children. Maybe you will adopt, or maybe you will foster. Maybe you will do kinship. It's totally up to you. Every family is unique. But I want to say, when my children go into public, I always let them know one thing before they leave the door. You are reflecting me. Amen? I'm sure some of you in here have said that to your children as they've walked out the door before. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. You are a reflection of who? Me. And sometimes it's hard when you see the reflection of you coming out into your children sometimes. And you have to work as a godly dad on how to correct that view, because they're viewing you. And sometimes that view that's coming back at you from them may not be as godly as what it should be. Take that into consideration. I'm not bashing you this morning. I'm just saying, take it into consideration. Today is Father's Day. You see, this day is a lot different than Mother's Day, isn't it? Why? We're the dad. All right? Mothers are usually more nurturing. They're caring. They're loving. I always think of the gifts we get for mothers on Mother's Day. My mom always gets a hanging basket. Always. She'll get a hanging basket. Laura's mom, usually a hanging basket. I usually get Laura a bouquet of flowers. Something that's nice. There's usually nice cards. You guys usually do that. Then fathers. What do we usually get on Father's Day? Cookout, baseball cap, fishing pole. I think one time I got a fishing pole. I don't fish. I thought it was funny. But usually things like that. It's a very different gift than what you would give a woman. It's something more made for a man. Now, where are we at with this in today's world? Sometimes we have crossed the line on a lot of things in America. We don't have fathers. You'd be shocked you go into school systems. Children, no fathers. People have no fathers in church world. When we're looking at this and we're saying, man, how do I help this child? Maybe they've never seen a godly example of a dad before. Some of us in here, I'm going to ask you this morning, and maybe you'd pray about it throughout the next couple weeks. I need some mentor men for some teenagers. Men that will step up. Men that love kids. Why? Because they need to see godly examples. And if you're ever interested in that, I'd like you to get with me, because we have some people who need a godly influence on their life. And it's so apparent today with Father's Day. You know, when kids are in school, life's always seems like, okay, we send them to school, we have summer break, then they're wondering, what do I do with my time? We need some good godly examples. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you say, hey, I have some extra time. I'd like you to get with me. And only if you really love kids, and only if you really feel like you're called of doing it, please get with me on that, because we do need some help in that area. This morning, I'd like to getting into my message here and kind of break this down a little bit. The breakdown of my message is this, and it's in five different parts. One, a godly father teaches. A godly father teaches. Two, a godly father provides an example that is worth following. Number three, a godly father disciplines his children. Number four, a godly father loves his children. Number five, a godly father, he prays for his children. Amen? Let's go into number one here. A godly father teaches his children. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training. There's a lot of training that comes in being a dad, right? Every day. It's an everyday thing. Every day. Just not in biblical training. It's in everyday life. We train them how to do things around the house. We're training them how to live life. We're actually training them how to be a lovable, nice human being. Amen? We're training them morals. Maybe you might train them. My dad always tried to train me how to change a tire. I'm still terrible at it. But he's trained me more. He spent more time in training me on how to be a good Christian. This morning, I'd like to challenge you this week. You may ask yourself, when do I start training my child? I'd say now. Now. I saw Sarah bringing in Jameson this morning, that's when you start training for Christians. Infant age. Actually, before infancy. When it is in the womb, you as a dad pray for that child. Amen? You pray for them. You pray over that name. You think of a name together as a couple usually, right? And then you pray over it. And then you are raising that child. Now, I will tell you this. Your children are smart. My children are very intelligent. They will know if you're not living a Christian example in front of them. Amen? And they'll catch you on it. They will catch you on it. Bringing them to Sunday school is super important, right? I love Sunday school. I've always liked Sunday school. Your children want to learn about God. It's important you as a dad are coming with them, dropping them off, handing them over. There's nothing wrong with that, amen? It's important bringing them to Wednesday night. We have a lot of good things happen on Wednesday night with our kids' programs. There's additional training, things that are helping reinforce what you are teaching at home. And then outside of that, when you are sitting as a family in the pew, that's important. It's important when they see you hold your wife's hand. Amen? It's important when they say, okay, we're going to make it through this storm. It's important. And it comes also in training. Maybe they saw you argue as a couple, but you apologized. That's training. It's important when you still came to church that Sunday morning when you thought you weren't going to make it there at all. You say, what type of training does that give you? Consistency. It shows that you have a love for God that surpasses and goes beyond anything. Amen? You're instilling Christian values in their life. Godly training is about consistency. It's every day and every day and every day teaching them how to be a Christian. Praying over your meals before you go to bed and studying the Bible with them. I will probably say that a couple times today. And it's repetitive. Why is that for? Because it's day in, day out. You're an example to them. You study with them. You read with them. You pray with them. You know, we win a lot of battles on our knees in prayer at home with our children. I have found I do not win any battles as a father massively yelling at my kids. That gets us nowhere. It gets us nowhere as a family. But when we sit down and we pray, we effectively can communicate to each other afterwards. Why? That's training. That's getting ourselves aligned with Jesus Christ and in a good area and in a good mindset. Let's go to number two here this morning. A godly father provides an example worth following. Proverbs 27 says this, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." A godly man should have integrity. When you go into the neighborhood or you go into the world, your wife should be proud of you. Amen. Your wife should not be talking about you. Your children should not be talking negatively about you. Integrity. And it also is the same in reverse. You should not be talking negatively about your children. If you need a confidant to go to, find someone who's confidential. Get some godly counseling. Talk with them. The worst thing we can do is spread trash about our own family. Amen? It's not good. Provide a godly example worth following. When we create a godly example, we are to lead them well. You are leading your home. I've never seen a generation where men don't want to lead their homes. I cannot fully tell you why. I've watched a lot of things. I've read a lot of articles on it. Why men do not want to lead their home. But I can tell you this, on both sides of the argument, we really need you today to lead your home. Your wife needs you to lead your home. Your children need you to lead your home. You say, well, how do I lead my home? All right? Start with prayer. Find yourself wherever you are. And you say, well, maybe I've never prayed for my family before. That's a good place to start by leading your home. You are to be an example. I would encourage you today, by the end of this message, find your way down here to an altar and make it right with Jesus Christ and repent on that situation that you never prayed for him before. It's important to pray over your family. Why is it important? Because you're leading them. You're leading them today. We need godly examples as men in our Sunday school classes, in our church programs. And we have a lot of good godly men here. And I'm not saying that it's just a mission point thing. No, we have some good godly men. But I will say it takes us having integrity to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what's true. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you will make hard decisions as a father when leading your family. You may have an opposing opinion from your spouse. Maybe they're thinking one thing, but you're talking to God and you're interceding on their behalf. I would say don't argue about that, but I would say sit down and talk about it. Amen? Talk it through. I would say then lead your wife and say, hey, can we pray together as a family? Maybe you're struggling there in that aspect as well. But then you say, maybe, okay, we've accomplished praying together, but we need a devotion. I would encourage you as a couple to set one week a day, maybe it's a half hour to start, and find a devotion that you would like to read together. It also takes growing together as a family. It takes growing together. It takes us working together. And integrity, when you go out into the work field, what are they saying about you? What are they saying about my children when they come from school, when they go in place? Like I said, they are a reflection of me. It's important of our integrity. Let's look at our next one here, number three. A godly father disciplines his children. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Amen? Discipline, that's a hard one. Discipline, every home's a little different with discipline. I grew up in a very strict environment on discipline. And I know that is not culture friendly now. But can I tell you today, we need some good correction. It's missing from fathers. Why is it missing from dads? A lot of moms are having to do it on their own today. They already have a job. I'm talking about mom. And I'm not talking about all scenarios, but I'm talking a lot of good, big scenarios that we do have going on. Mom's having to work a job, maybe two jobs. You come home. You haven't helped her with the kids. She's having to discipline them alone. She's now done all the laundry. She's cooked all the dinner. And she's having to do the discipline. They need dad to help with discipline. You ought to help with everything else too. But it's important to help with discipline. An easy word to learn is no. Amen? I've had to learn that. No, you cannot do that. It's a big word for our culture we live in today. A lot of kids have never been told no. It's okay. It's okay to say, no, this is not what we're doing. No, this is not the direction I want you going in life. And where does discipline start? As a young child. It's hard to start discipline when they're 15. It starts as a child, as an infant. You, when you're talking with them. And I'm not talking about being mean. Amen? It's not. You don't have to be mean in your discipline. You don't have to be their friend either. One of the things I'm learning, and I am a Christian father, but I'm still raising kids, is that they know I'm not their friend. I'm not their friend. I can't be their friend. Why is that for? Because I got to be a dad. And at the end of the day, I'd rather be their father than their friend. Someday we might be friends. But today, they need a disciplinarian. And you say, well, how do I discipline? I would say go to God in prayer about that. I'm not going to tell you how to discipline your own home because everybody has a very different opinion on that. I will say this, go to God in prayer and open up your Bible and start looking at how you should discipline your children. Discipline how God wants you to discipline them. It's important. Why are we struggling with this in America? It's because we have an epic all-time high of fathers who are not involved with their children. Fathers who are not involved with their children. But this morning, we need you involved with their children. I'll share this with you. Next month, we have Vacation Bible School coming up. And I'd love that we had some of you men help take kids from one area to another area, or even want to teach a class. You say, well, I'm not a great teacher. That's okay. They just need to see a godly male example in their life. A godly male example. Does it really make that big of a difference? Oh, yes, it does. It really does make that big of a difference in a child. Why? They're looking for a dad. I can't tell you how many times over the years in working in youth ministry and kid ministry that children mess up and call me dad. I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, no, I'm not your father. You can't come home with me today. You know how that has broke my heart over the years? Why? Our church world, our kids, they're looking for dads. Number four, a godly father loves his children. A godly father truly loves his children. Proverbs 23:24 says this, The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Man, I love my kids. I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of them. And my dad was always proud of me. I see a lot of fathers in here with a lot of great pride. Last week or before when Tyler graduated from high school, dad was proud, wasn't he? You could see it in his face. He was proud. Mom was proud. I watched that here at church. They were proud. They got him through high school. He's on his way to college. That's an awesome feat. You see, kids that are not going college, not going anywhere today, it's a big feat to watch him continue on. We love our kids. How do we love our kids? Sometimes it's with words, I love you. Sometimes it's with a hug. Do you know sometimes your children really are starving for just a simple hug from you? Sometimes we become emotionless as men. We don't really do that. But I can tell you, your children are probably starving for that affection that comes only you can give. They're looking for love today, and a lot of young men and a lot of young women have now what we call father issues or dad issues. And they're going to different things because there is a lack of that at home. I would encourage you today, if maybe you have a son or a daughter and you haven't spoke to them in a while, go to prayer about that. I'm just not saying just call them. But I'm saying go to God in prayer about them and ask God what you should do. Right? Ask God how you should have a godly answer on how to reach them. Sometimes we just call them and sometimes it was a bad situation, right? Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God for help. Maybe you have a child and they're a prodigal. And you love them more than anything and you want them to come home. I'd ask you this morning to pray about them. Why? It's because they really do love you. And you really do love them. A godly father will love God first. You say, a godly father will love God first. Yes, there's an order to this. A godly father doesn't put his children above his wife. Amen? A godly father does not put his children above God. A godly father will put God above everything else. And sometimes when you're loving your children and you find that there are areas in their life that are not where they need to be, sometimes you have to have a discussion with them. And it comes out of love. And why is that for? Because you love God more than anything else. The order of how that goes is, as a godly father, we should love God more than anything. Second is our wives. Third is our children. And then it's our extended family and our church family. Amen? Amen. Can I tell you, a lot of you in here are like my family. I put you in like my family. Why is that for? I see you more than I see the majority of my extended family. That's how much I love you. God, your spouse, your children, your family, your extended family, your church family. It's important that your children know how you love them and the order. It's important that they know that you love God more than them, but you want your children to love God more than you. I want them to love God more than me. Why is that for? Because I want them to have a good relationship with them. With God. I know if they are to be successful young men someday, they're going to have a very good relationship now with Jesus Christ so they can become good husbands and good wives. Let's look at number 5. A godly father prays. A godly father prays for his children. James 1:5 says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto you." Men, pray. Pray. If you want to be the head of the house, pray. Pray. The Bible says that we are to be praying without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray. How does praying without ceasing go? It's really different for everybody. But I will say this. The best examples I've heard over the year, when you get up in the morning, you start praying. You head to work in your car. You got that time there. Turn off your radio. Start praying to God. I can pray to him. Does everybody know you can pray to God anywhere? All you got to do is just bow your head. You don't even have to bow your head. In your mind, you can be praying. And no one even knows what's happening. That's praying without ceasing. It's when you're around the dinner table and we say, everybody, we're going to stop just for one moment. We're going to have a quick prayer. All right. It's those moments when they catch you at home with your Bible out and you're reading. All right? You're actually not sleeping this time with reading. You're reading the Bible. Maybe you're not a, maybe you don't learn that way, and that's cool. There's a lot of other ways. There's a lot of audible ways to learn. If you need anything that's audible on Scripture, please come to me. We can help you out there. We have a lot of resources with that. I know a lot of people do not like to sit there and read. I get that. I am an audible person. But if you're struggling in that avenue and you want to have a closer relationship with Jesus and how to lead your Father, get into that Word of God. And I can say, hey, start reading, start listening to the Word of God. Pray without ceasing. A godly father starts his morning in prayer and he prays over his wife. He prays over his children. And then he ends his day continually praying for them. We call that building a wall of prayer. A wall of prayer. It's an effective tool. What are you doing when you're praying for your children? You're praying against any harm, hurt, or danger that Satan is trying to bring against you and your family. Can I tell you that Satan is not out there just not to destroy your family? He wants to do what? Destroy the family this morning. He wants to seek, kill, and destroy you. You are a target. And there's a target on your back. Number one, you bear Christ's name. Amen. Number two, you're in a traditional Christian marriage. That's a target. Number three, you're trying to raise Christian kids for Jesus. That's a target. I'd say this morning, build a wall of prayer around your home today. I'd start from the foundation up. If it had to, start praying in the basement and work your way all the way up to if you got two or three stories. I'd pray all over that home. Why? We need to reclaim the home for Jesus Christ, men. Reclaim that house for Jesus Christ. Who builds that house? A solid foundation cannot be moved. Amen. If you are wanting a foundation that will not shift, it will not go with the sand, it will not crumble. You build a firm foundation as a Christian man. It's hard being a Christian dad, but there's no greater honor or blessing that I have as into walking with my kids to church. I usually get every Sunday, I get here about an hour or so earlier than the kids. And I'll wait for Laura to come. All right, I don't know if anybody's ever here early, if you ever watch me. I'm waiting because I'm wondering, number one, have they been good for her this morning? All right, number two, okay, are they in the car? Has it been a car? And if it is, it's just a little bit past that time, I call. Why is that for? I love them more than anything. I love them. I want the best for them. I want to see them grow in the house of God. I'm learning that my kids aren't perfect. Amen? Neither are yours. That's a hard thing to remember, isn't it? Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they problem. Sometimes they backtalk. Sometimes you just say, wow, did that happen? And I want to encourage you this morning, be the godly parent that you should be. Be the godly dad that you should be. Lead well. Man, we're needing you to lead more than ever. Look, I stopped at the gas station yesterday, right? I had to get a Monster Energy drink. And I stopped in there, and I had a man. He said, sir, he said, have you been watching the riots? I said, no. Well, why not four? I said, I don't have time for that. I'm on my way to a church board meeting. He said, well, isn't that what we should be doing is watching that? I said, no, we should be really praying. This morning, I can tell you this morning, we really need to be praying for our nation. We really need to be praying for our nation. I'm not that political, I'll be honest with you. I don't watch that much CNN. But I can tell you, on both sides of the political field, we need to pray for our country this morning. We need to pray for godly leadership. We need to pray for godly men and women, that God would just inspire them, that we go back to having good homes, that we go back to having a full church. Can it happen? We sure can. Let's all stand this morning. Maybe somebody in here needs to pray. Maybe you need to pray over your children. Maybe you need to pray for your children. Maybe you need to have a whole home remodel with your family. Let's take a moment and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for every father here today. We thank you for the blessings of Father's Day. Lord, we pray for over every home, every mom, every dad, Lord, every child in here, Lord, that we would grow closer to you. And we thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.